Because when I first, I don't remember how we first met or how I first came to the church or any of that stuff. I've been trying to think. It's like a fog, but I just remember being back in England and fighting and doing so much warring there to get things broken open. And Yemisi, I want you to come up. Yemisi, come on up. Yemisi's doing something. I want to introduce Yemisi. I didn't warn her about this, but she's been sitting behind me. And she's like a daughter in the Lord. And you're just so special. All the way. Tell them what you're doing.
Okay, a parallel to what's happened in the States. You may know we had the recent Brexit from the EU.
Yay.
So we're a praying church, and we started out praying through Skype. And then the Lord's, something happened actually to trigger this. There was a bell temple arch that was erected at Trafalgar Square. And so we mobilised, we just went out to Trafalgar Square.
But stop, explain what that is.
Okay,
that's in the
sorry.
Of London.
So Trafalgar Square is the heart of London, basically. It's, if you look at the definition, it whatever's in there defines the culture of the society of the United Kingdom. You can measure United States to the United Kingdom from Trafalgar Square. There's a Nelson point, and to Belgium. So it's a very prophetic position. So the Bell Temple Arch, actually, you know in the Bible where it says about child sacrifice and all that, those, that's what was coming to the land.
The gates were represented.
So even in the square, we had the seven gates, seven mountains. We didn't know that until we actually went to the square. But anyway, so how it happened, so one of the other intercessors sent an email. We saw this was happening in America. So we read it. I thought, it's come to London as well. We got to do something. And so that's how we started. So as we did the prayer walk between 12 midnight, 3 a.m., the Lord showed us the seven mountains and all the areas where he would wanted us to redeem. So there were 19 of us, and it turned out in the end, we kind of think it was angels, because three Jewish young boys at 3 a.m. in the morning helped us blow the shofar, because nobody could blow it. And then he said, Lord, send us help. So these three Jewish boys, one was called Joshua, another one Benjamin, I can't remember the other guy's name, just going, do you need some help? So they blew the shofar. But anyways, because of all the things the Lord was showing us, we knew we couldn't go back to the norm. So we continued to maintain our position praying. And that's when David Cameron announced the fact that he was giving us the votes to come in or stay out of the EU. But because we knew the prophecies like that's come through over the years, and we were really pressing in. So as it got closer to the actual vote itself, we were doing a lot of prayer through Skype. Through the actual voting day till morning, we were praying nonstop. So we'd look at the votes for one state, say, yay, and then another state, and we were just pressing on. But then after we had the actual Brexit vote, just like there was a parallel between what happened with Israel when they came out of Egypt. Half the nation was in mourning. There was a lot of hatred, division. And I started to cry, Lord, what do we do? This is a time we should be thanking you and praising you, because you're realigning the United Kingdom to our prophetic destiny and calling. And so because, you know, the mantle that Julie carries our church, you know, praying, so we knew that we had to do something. So I remember that Saturday morning, I said, Lord, what next? And I just heard him say very clearly, 40 days prayer at Parliament Square. So Parliament Square is the gateway to government. So you've got House of Parliament, you've got the Supreme Court, which is the highest court, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Supreme Court. So you've got the Seven Mountains again there. So every day for 40 days we were praying. But you had people from other churches come as well. And what was interesting is as we were praying, we're just seeing God answer, the Lord move. So we just said we wanted his heart to for him to choose the right prime minister, because David Cameron resigned. It was just, you know, it was chaos. But in the midst of it all, the Lord kept showing himself strong. So we have Theresa May, a woman who goes to church, a woman who stands for what's right. But we're continuing to pray. And we're not just praying for government. We're praying for the revival and the reformation that the Lord said. And, you know, the Bible says that the kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. And so it's just a privilege. And, you know, so all we do is just glean from our mother of the house here. And we're very fortunate because as we come, the Lord just stares other believers up. And there's a lady here who was here on holiday. And where's Vicky? She's Jewish American. Where are you? She came to join us. It was raining. We were all praying. We had the umbrellas. And she just said, the Lord led her to do a prayer walk in the UK.
Yeah.
And she just was just telling us to pray for the Queen. It was just crazy. And then one day we were praying, there was a double rainbow enveloped around House of Parliament. Literally from the beginning of the building to the end, a double rainbow. So the Lord was telling, it reminded us, he's a covenant-keeping God. So I'm encouraged that there's praying people in the United States. We don't pray through our own understanding. We align with who his choice is. And we know that the Lord is preparing the outpouring of his spirit in these last days. And we're going to see reformation, not just in the UK, but in the United States.
Amen. Thank you.
I spoke too much.
No, it's fine. I want you to open your Bibles for a minute to James 1. Because she just led us to a scripture that I was thinking about this afternoon, yesterday and this afternoon. And I think we're getting so much good teaching. But I just felt, when I get there and find it, there it is. James 1. You're probably very familiar with this, but it says, I woke up this morning and it just came up on the inside. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, this is the Amplified version, whenever you are enveloped, I like to say it that way, enveloped actually, but I just saw an envelope when I first ever read this scripture many years back. Consider it joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Just consider it a joyful thing. It's like, woohoo, I'm going into a trial. And you're either going into one or you're in one or you're coming out of one and you're going to go into the next one. That's good news, actually, because the way we go into trials and the way we come out of them is God's with us in the bad days and he's with us in the good days. And he's teaching each one of us individually how to be personally triumphant in life. And it has been amazing, this trip, because I've been kind of sitting watching. And I've been thinking about all the things that have been bubbling up on the inside of me and us rising up to a new level, because we're actually in this new Hebraic year now, where it is a triumphant time. It is a time for the body of Christ to rise up and shine. And I don't think it's by accident that we're here and you're having your election. And I don't think it's wrong to pray for it. I don't think it was wrong to go last night and watch it. Even though it can be irritating and frustrating, we just thank the Holy Spirit for guiding us into these places, into these trials. Count it all joy. Consider it. Maybe just consider it wholly joyful. Instead of looking at life like, oh my gosh. You know, I'm thinking, why are you guys praying for rain? We live in it. Why don't you just come over there? Guy, what is your problem? It was raining when I left. It rains all the time. I don't get to wear shoes like this. It's always wrap it up, layer it up, major. You know, scarves up to here. You know, but the Lord knows the ones who are going to rise up to this new life, this new level of glory. And he knows who's going to obey his voice. And it has been quite remarkable that I come here year maybe once a year, I think we come, and you come to us. And it's quite amazing what's happened between Rod and Steve and what is actually happening with Chosen and what's happening. But basically, what I carry is a sound. And I want to declare some things tonight. And you've been here, if any of you heard me before, we went prayer walking around that EMI building. I believe this is the time that we're moving into where the sounds that come into the nations, that come into our cities, are going to cause people to fall in love with what it feels like to feel good again. Just not be afraid. You know, I remember that our Christian radio station in London called us that morning that we had the Brexit vote. And Brexit doesn't mean we've left Europe. It just means we're no longer under the European rule, that Roman rule. We're not under that. Yoo-hoo! We're out. And we feel good about it. And I'm not being political in church. I'm just telling you, it's great to be out. We love Europe. Europeans, when they come over and they say how awkward it felt for them, I'm sorry. But you know what? Yahoo! We're out. And England is going to rise up again. You're going to see a nation rise up. You're going to see, as you're praying for these nations, and yeah, I did say, oh my gosh, that's a lot of warfare. That is a lot, and it's still a lot, and you're not on top of it yet. But you'll get there, because you're learning in these trials to consider it joyful. That's why the dancing. It's not just dancing around with a flag and blowing a shofar because we're trying to sort of be spiritual. It's actually because we're actually enduring. We're actually learning what it means to be steadfast and to be patient. And I recently shared a message in our church from this verse in verse 12. Blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And Rod kindly reminded me when I was going through a serious moment or two or day or few about a week ago, hey, honey, remember the verse you just preached, stand up. You know, when you're being bombarded with the negativity, what God says is stand up. Easier said than done. So it was easy for me to preach it at the time. But then I had some backlash. But you know, I want you to understand that from this place, we are moving into a new place. We're moving into a new leader of this great nation. And it has to be a person who brings hope. Because if America doesn't bring hope to the rest of the world, I don't know who will. That's very scary for us living in Europe, because nations look to America. So Father, we just pray now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for the turning that needs to happen. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for the turning of hearts that absolutely has to happen across this great nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father, the crooked places are made straight. We thank you, Father, the deception is lifted off and people have eye salve. You said to ask you for eye salve from heaven for people's eyes. So we ask for a spirit of revelation and discernment to come upon the people who vote in the name of Jesus. So this nation comes into this phenomenal alignment of having a voice in the earth again. And we do thank you for the prayers that are being prayed in Westminster, the mother of all parliaments there. We thank you. We thank you so much, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you that your will is being worked out. Father, thank you. It really is. You really have begun a good work in us, and you are going to finish it. You're bringing it to a new place of resurrection life. We thank you. We thank you for this change of season. We just thank you, Father, for our heroes. My husband is my hero, but you know, the Lord is my hero. But I have a husband who's also my hero. And we thank God for the heroes, Lord, that are coming forth. The voices that are coming forth in the name of Jesus. We unlock the voices of this nation, the songs and the sounds that need to come out, Father, we unlock it. Father, you put it in my heart to see the 60s revisited with you in control, Father. And we just thank you for the unlocking of incredible, extraordinary creativity in song. The children will go dancing to school and dancing on the streets. The people will turn up the music. The people will say again, wow, wow. And just start singing a song. Just start singing a song. Just like that happy song caught the whole world. Lord, there is a swirling. And we lay hold of this swirling and we say, we command you to go to the north, south, east, and west. We command in Jesus' name for the order of heaven to become the order of earth in the name of Jesus. Come on, we just declare and we decree in the name of Jesus Christ that this hub, this place that prays, Father, prayer isn't about talking and about having nice little chit-chats. Prayer is talking to you and saying, help, we need you. And you have said in Hebrews 4, you are a present help. And I thank you that you are a present help. And from this place of prayer, Father, the world is declared and decreed over and ruled in new ways. And much is released. So we do release the newness of the sound. We pray for every individual under the sound of my voice. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that they will just begin to bubble up and they'll begin to make a sound. They'll begin to sing. They'll begin to prophesy. They'll begin to talk to you. Father, you know it's desperate in London. It's desperate in Europe. It's desperate in the Middle East. You know how desperate things are, but we're asking you tonight for your help. You promised us your present help. So I thank you that we begin to move in resurrection life. I thank you, Father, you didn't come to have an encounter with us. You didn't come to visit and go off again. You've come to inhabit our lives. We welcome you. We welcome you to actually move in. To actually move in to our lives, our marriages, our relationships, our church relationships. What our churches are destined to do. Our worship teams, where they take us in the Spirit to places of incredible prayer, Father. In Jesus' name. I feel like I need to apologize because I close my eyes and I get off. And there's so much to pray about. There is so much to resurrect. But I'm not apologizing because that's who I am. So, the Lord has ministered something to me. I don't know if you have the Message Bible here. I keep meaning to ask and I forget. If you have the Message Bible, great. If not, I'm going to just read you something. Resurrection is the concept of a living being coming back to life after death. In a number of ancient religions, a dying and rising god is a deity which dies and resurrects. The death and resurrection of Jesus, an example of resurrection, is the central focus of Christianity. So if you're a Christian and you're in here tonight, any part of your life can be resurrected. Whether it's your finances, whether it's your emotions, whether it's your health, I don't know. Whatever area. You know Rod and I have had quite a fight the last few years. We've had to fight for his life. And I know you've had some tragic things happen. You know, stuff happens. We live in the earth. But we are called to rule and to reign. And we are called to not worry about all these trials that go on, but just consider it joyful. Yeah, I'm not the kind of person that laughs at jokes a lot, although when Rod was diagnosed as being quite ill, the doctor said, you know, Mr. Anderson, you're seriously ill. And we bought some Laurel and Hardy. I guess we bought them. I don't know. Did somebody give it to us? Somebody gave it to us? somebody. Anyway, we got Laurel and Hardy. That was my favorite. I didn't mind Abbott and Costello, but I preferred Laurel and Hardy. You know, Commit to Dancing. You know that one? I just need a bit more room at home to actually learn the dance. But I will. But we used to put it on every night, one of them, and go to bed in our little room with a little foot around the bed, you know, and I'd just commit to dancing. So anyway, I just told you that to say it's perfectly okay to laugh at jokes. It's perfectly okay to have a giggle. But real joy comes from the Holy Ghost. And there have been times in church services where we have just laughed in the Spirit. And that is a different place. And so a lot of the time as an intercessor, and I do understand the burden of intercession sometimes in the earth. It's just so heavy sometimes. You just go so deep. You go so deep. 1 Corinthians 2:10 talks about the Holy Spirit who takes you down so deep beyond man's scrutiny. And if something's going to be raised up, you know, how deep do you want to go? For me, I want the Lord to go as deep as he wants to go. And a few months ago, I was like, whoa, I'm really in a deep place. And he said, so? Like he didn't know I was there. And I'm like, well, could I go to the shallow end? He's like, sure, if you want to. I said, well, I'm always in the deep end. Always in the deep end. It's like, gosh. And he said, yeah, your feet can't touch the ground, can they? I said, no. It's not very nice always being in the deep end. He said, but you could go to my word. My word revives you and gives you life. You can swim to the shallow end. And he gave me, I got to read the scripture. I just opened up to it tonight. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 5, it says, and the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister to him and to bless in the name and presence of the Lord. And by their word shall every controversy and every assault be settled. Now, sometimes we're praying within our houses of parliament about major issues concerning the whole nation. Sometimes you're praying about major issues, and it's hard to believe that every controversy and every assault will be settled by people who pray. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? And then I was... I think we were in the worship. Something else came to me. Oh, no, it was in the prayer thing, in the prayer room. It's so wonderful, your prayer room. It is wonderful. Leviticus 26:10 says, you shall eat the abundant old store of produce long kept and clear out the old to make room for the new. And the Lord gave that to me as my assignment many years ago when I started doing strategic door opening, for want of a better way to put it, going to places that had been blocked, the doors had been closed, it hadn't had charismatic, prophetic, strategic intercession. They just hadn't had that. And God just led me to places to do with government, to do with religion, to do with businesses, to do with things. We were just unlocking things. But this was the thing. You'll eat the abundant old store of produce long kept. See, you mustn't just chuck everything out. These nations and your nation, you mustn't just chuck everything out. There's some good things here. There's more good than there is bad. A lot more good. So when you talk about resurrection life, you talk about stepping into this new place, this concept of coming back. For me, resurrection life will be what the Beatles screwed up and the Rolling Stones screwed up. And I use those two because they were the two leaders of the music in the 60s. And for whatever reason, I ended up working for the Beatles and I ended up living amongst the Rolling Stones in the south of France. How do I know? How did I know when I said, God, do you have something for my life? If you have anything for my life, show me. And this little ad jumped out, famous impresario, Sikh secretary. And I thought, phew, sounds good. I don't know what an impresario does or is, but hey, Have you ever heard that before? I'd never heard it. I was just like 21 years old, and I thought, sounds pretty good to me. I'll give it a go. And I didn't know my life was going to go that way. But now in the Lord, carrying and understanding the authority, I actually believe there's going to be a huge prayer mobilization for the music business worldwide. I do. I feel like I carry a flag from England that I'm waving. It's just a tiny little flag. But I'm like, could somebody just get hold of this and start praying? Because do you understand the power of sound? It affects everything. It affects everything. And recently, I guess it was the last time I preached in our church, the Lord reminded me of Habakkuk, or however you like to say it, Habakkuk, I don't know. In America, you probably don't give a rip. You know, you've got to get it right. But anyway, you know, Habakkuk starts out in the first book of Habakkuk, and he looks around, and he's freaked out, and now the Chaldeans, they're going to mess everything up and kill everybody, and he's just a wreck. But by the time you get to the third book, it says the prophet Habakkuk speaks, perhaps you can put that up, Habakkuk 3:1. He makes a prayer set to wild, here it is, look, wild, enthusiastic music, triumphant. And the Lord quickened me, and he said, you've been doing that for years. And I said, I have. He said, yeah, just think about it. There have been times when I've been feeling dry, and things have kind of dried up a bit, and we put some music on, and the music kind of stirs you up and up and up and up, and you pray in tongues, and, you know, Jude 20, you rise up like an edifice, you're just higher and higher and higher, and how high do you want to go? Well, for me, because the Holy Spirit came to me in 1978 and just lifted me up out of my body, I turned around and looked up, and next thing I knew, coming down in the sky in a pillar of fire was Jesus. You know, I'm in a trance. Am I seeing something in the sky? It all happens so quickly. I don't know whether in the body or out of the body. All I know is that I came up very slowly but very quickly into the heavenly realm. And I stopped and came to a stop next to Jesus. And you talk about mantles tonight in the prayer room. His mantle is so colorful and so loud. And the fire, I'm like, are you crazy, church? Why do you keep praying and singing about the fire coming down? Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea what that means? It'll consume everything that's not of heaven, that's not of God. And it seems like everywhere I go lately, all the churches are singing, fire come, fire come. I'm like, whoa. I'm serious. Because when I was in that house in Studio City and at this party, and I just was told, turn around, turn around, turn around. There were angels all around me. Turn around. And I did. And I looked up, and there's this pillar of fire coming down from tens of thousands of feet up in the sky. You know, and you're like, hello? Am I smoking? What's going on? You know, and you're trying to get your head together. Don't look at me like that. Guy, please. You're doing all this praying for encounters and stuff. You know, I've had encounters with God since I was 3 years old. When I was 3 years old, he sent angels to me who surrounded me and said, we've come from the throne of God to tell you no matter what happens to you, God is with you all the days of your life. That's nice. I thought, that's cool, whatever that means. I pushed my little pram, my little dolly, you know, back in the garden because I wasn't supposed to be out of the garden, but being the last ones, you know. What was it, the last children born? Don't care about the rules. They just don't care. So we were both babies, so we squabble. But it's just baby stuff. He's the baby of the family. I'm the baby of the family. Babies get away with blue murder, don't they? We do. We get away with it. So I know the rules, but I don't take any notice of them. Well, he's American. He doesn't even know them. It's true, he doesn't. I was going to read you something from the Message Bible, and I probably should do that and stay out of trouble. Let me see where we'll start. Because the solution is, it says in Romans 8 in the Message, is life on God's terms. Maybe I'll just start at the beginning. With the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. Phew. A new power is in operation. So I asked somebody the other day in England, how old's your mum? She said, 71. I said, oh, I'm 71. So she goes, no. I'm, yeah, I am. I was in May anyway. So, but I don't feel like that on the inside. On the inside, I've just kind of grown up from being 5, 6, 7, a teenager. We have a church. They call me the mother of the church. You know, I'm a granny. I'm like, okay. But a new power is in operation. Because how you think is incredibly important. If you think that way, if you perceive a person that way, poor person has all that projected rubbish on them. You have to get your identity from God. And the only way you can do that is going into the Bible every day. Having a look in the mirror. I don't know any other way. I've 31 years, 33 years, whatever. 35 years, I guess. I don't know, a long time been doing this stuff. And you go into the Bible. A new power is in operation. Verses 3 and 4 says, God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. Sometimes we go to the barn where we have chosen once a year, and I get there and I'm like, oh, take it all off. Everybody's stuff. Everybody's suicidal, negative stuff and threats. I just take it all, lay it down. Takes me about 24 hours, usually. But by the time I get up the second day there, I'm ready to pray. And I talk to the Lord and I'm like, what do you want to pray about? You know, what do you want me to pray about? Because see, you can't just pray any old silly thing because it's just messing up the atmosphere. But if you actually ask God, what would he like you to pray? It'll blow your little heads. Because he'll say, I feel what you feel. And I'm like, well, I am totally fed up with this situation. Why don't you just take this person to heaven or come down and get in them? Why don't you just sort this out? Next thing I know is, this poor person had a heart attack. We're like, oh my God, please. I felt so responsible. He goes, what do you want me to do? You asked me what to do and I worked. I'm at work in the situation. See, I think we have prayer on such a shallow level. Very shallow sometimes. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm just saying, some of the stuff you do is so flitty and shallow. What does that mean? Talk to God. Ask him how he feels. What would he like you to do? Where would he like you to be? What would he want you to say? People just talk. It's just no power in it. I'm not a power freak, but I do like, as a teacher, demonstrating God. I love that. And God is powerful. You only need one word from him and you can be set up for your life. My life totally changed when I said, don't you have anything for my life? Well, what's religious about that prayer? I just laid hands on the paper in London and said, don't you have anything else? I'm bored. And out jumped that advert for the Beatles. And 200 girls went for the interview. And when they interviewed me, it was kind of at the end of the road, you know. But I knew it was my job. I looked over at the desk and thought, oh, look at that empty desk. It's mine. It's got my name on it. I just walked in a confidence. There's a God confidence that will come on you as you walk out of here tonight. There's an anointing that will come on you. You'll go, you know what? I am so fed up with that situation. Why don't you do something? Here, I'm just going to give it to you and turn my back on it and walk the other way. And you know what? God will start moving. Ooh, it's so scary. It's so scary. Praying people in, praying people out. It's scary stuff, prayer. It is. It's scary. Praying nations into their destiny. It's no light thing, prayer. You know, and then when it happens, you have to go, whoa. And you have to be patient under trial. Patient. And you have to stand up. And you have to act like you don't know anything about anything. Don't tell. Keep it just keep it quiet. You didn't know I had that on there, did you? Now you do. So anyway, we're going to stop in a minute. Thank you. He's from London. He's really talented. Why don't you play again? Why don't you just start playing? Just let your spirit go. There's some things that you're fed up with that need resurrecting. We're going to pray, I know, Saturday, but there's some things you are so fed up with that you haven't seen an answer to. One time, God said to me, I'd like you just to look at your prayer life. And I could see clearly a whiteboard, and I had like 10 years of prayers up there, and I was so proud. I'm really prayed up, man, you know. And he said, I want you to wipe every prayer off. I said, you must be joking. I've got like years of prayers up there. I mean, I am walking in my prayer life. Rod always likes to quote Jeremiah 31, where it talks about the priest who came forth, and the Amplifier says, pouring forth prayers for the future. And I just stopped when I read that the first time, because I thought, my gosh, my prayer life is paving the way for my future. In other words, my future is as good as my prayer life. I know it's heavy, but it's like the truth. So you think, you know, because Europe's a bit different to California. You don't always wake up happy and chirpy. You wake up in California, oh, thank God. I do wake up in London thanking God. But it's different. I have to war a bit. I have to fight a bit. But I've learned over the years to enter into rest and to settle more. But I highly recommend that when you wake up in the morning, just immediately say, God, make this day a masterpiece. Make it a masterpiece. It's all I've got is today. What do you want? You know, what do you want? This disordered mess of struggling humanity. You've set it right once and for all in Jesus. Once and for all. He did it in Jesus. He's not going to do it again. He's done it. Verses 5 to 8 says, those who think they can do it on their own end, they end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Wow. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. This is the Message Bible. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing. And God isn't pleased at being ignored. So when I go into the 7-Eleven, or I go into Jubilee Church, or I walk through an airport, I say, where are you? What are you doing? Well, I'm at home. My exercising of myself is, where's God? And God's been toughening me up, you know, because I'm kind of a fragile individual, sensitive, one of those, awkward to live with. It takes a man like Rod Anderson to make me laugh. Takes a Bakersfield humour with a British born and bred girl. God knew what he was doing, but there's been fireworks and friction. And here's a girl who's been to heaven and looked at the goodness and gone, oh my God, can I just get away as far as I can get away from you and just kind of get my act together and then I'll come back. You know that we don't get to do that, really? And the next thing that happened to me was I was in hell and it was so pitch black dark. I put my hand up and I thought, hello, I can't see my hand. Yikes. Ah, where are we? And it smelt. And then there was a kind of a sleazy feeling. And it, oh, God, I was screaming, get me out of here. Get me out of here. And you get this eternal feeling that, you know, hell is forever. And that's why you become passionate for people to make it. I don't care if you're this or that. I just want you to get to heaven. And what I've noticed is heaven is becoming more real in our cultures, in the church world, and it's becoming less real in the cultures in the worldly world. And the more we watch TV and we watch things, it's like you can't watch it for more than 10 minutes without something being so highly offensive. You're like, oh, because it's so dark. And you have to be, you know, to engage with that darkness. So what am I saying? I'm saying you're going to be in trials in the earth and you're going to need to know God's voice. You're going to need to know how to walk. You're going to need to know how to receive the goodness, because the goodness is getting more and more. This resurrection life that we've entered into is becoming more and more and more. So you might as well get up and say, Lord, increase my capacity. Enlarge me in the midst of my foes. You might as well pray it and say it, because it's going to happen anyway, and it's silly to keep bucking against it. You might as well learn from what you're being taught, you know. And verses 12 and 14, it says, listen to this. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. And God said to me, I think it was about 5 years ago now, he said, you need to give yourself a decent burial. And I was like, oh, joking. You know, I mean, because I was too attached to the past. And it's okay to be attached to the past, you know. But it's not the best. It's much better to be looking forward and looking where you're going. And even have longer range. Some people only look like 5 yards ahead of them. They're dithering, dilly-dallying. You know, have a long range view. I have a long range view. I have a beach house somewhere here. I don't know where it is. It's going to find me one day. It's been a long time coming. But it's coming, because I'm going to walk those beaches. And I'm going to pray over the nations. And I'm going to enjoy it. This resurrection life you've received from God is, now listen, oh, I love this, is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? Oh, that's where I'm at. Hey, what's next? Wow, look at this place. You guys actually obeyed. You actually took me seriously. I used to walk in here and think, why the heck don't you pray? We're praying our hearts out in London. Why don't you just become a praying church? I mean, I used to bark at you and tell you what to do and walk in here like, dip, 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 dip. And then I'd come back and you're doing it. Now, I want to tell you something. That's brilliant. But you know what? This isn't the end of the road. This is just one level. Now we're doing it. Now I want you to think about going to Israel more, coming to Europe more, infiltrating a bit more. Pray yourselves into places that you haven't, why don't you stand up with me? Pray yourself into places that you haven't thought about being before. Okay? God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who He is and we know who we are. Father and children. And we know we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. I know when I went to the barn, it was on our wedding anniversary. I think we were 31 years. Oh, no, it must have been longer because we've been there 8 years. But I went and I stood at those gates. Oh, so holy. Oh, I said, God, I love this place. Oh, yes. I'll do whatever you want. I didn't have a penny. I had no money. I forget what they were asking for, £25,000 or something to put the floor down and do some refurbishing. I didn't have anything, but I had a dream. God's given every one of you a dream, and He wants you to finish it. He wants you to see the road ahead, start making a plan, make some adjustments, get rid of the stuff that's distracting you and delaying you, and get on the road. And I stood there and I was like, oh God, you know, it's all holier than that. And I said, I'll do whatever you want. Put all the responsibility on Him. And He audibly spoke to me and said, what do you want? And I shivered. Because that wasn't fair. And I told Him, that's not fair. You're making me grow up. You're making me be responsible. That is so not fair. Okay, I'm a visionary, and visionaries see things differently. Okay? I'm one of those. Rod's a logic. So He puts the brakes on me. So I don't tell Him till I'm totally ready. Because I've learned. And He knows I'm going to do it when I tell Him. But he's a man of prayer. But we're going to discover our destinies. You know, we're going to pray, Father, in Jesus' name. We want the fullness of our inheritance. We know that we're in a time in this new year to receive a full harvest blessing. And we thank You for this nation and the election in this nation. We thank You. It'll be what You want it to be. Whatever needs to happen, it'll be what You want. And we're not afraid of the future. We are not afraid of the future. We're not afraid of the experiences of resurrection life. Because it's good. There's only one way for the church, and it's up. So, Father, we lift up every situation in this room. We lift up every heart in this room. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ for Your will being done. We pray, Father, the doors that need to be shut and closed to be closed. We can't change the past, but we can change the way we look at it. And Father, I thank You. With the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, You have a plan to resurrect music, resurrect sound. It's amazing, the sounds that we listen to, that we rehearse every day, things that lift us, things that depress us. And I thank You and I praise You now in the name of Jesus that we are living in the days of our flesh. We're just like Jesus. We're in the days of our flesh. We're offering up definite special petitions for the things we not only want but the things that we need. And we need to see the music business totally opened up to You, Father. Wide open, wide open. We want these doors to just open up wide, open up wide. See, each one of you have a relationship with God. And I know it's a heartfelt thing. When I walked across the living room floor of Keith Richards' house in the south of France, after just sitting across the table from Mick Jagger, who, it was scary to me. I was like, oh, I don't want to engage. I was like standoffish, little Miss Much Afraid from Norfolk, because I didn't want to engage. It was too much for me, all of that. I wanted God. I had a hunger for God. It was in my heart that I was praying. It was in my heart I was saying, I thought you said you'd be with me all the days of my life. Where the heck are you? I couldn't hear God in the conversations that I was listening to. I'm not fault-finding. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm just saying what I was listening to, I couldn't find God in it the way I knew God. So I was crying out, God, you know, what's going on? And when I got halfway across that living room floor, his audible voice said, you're walking where my angels fear to tread. I was so spun out that night. I was so spun out. I went outside and I fell down the terrace steps to the private beach there, and I just started shaking. And I looked up and I knew that all of heaven was waiting for my decision. See, all of heaven is watching your lives. Some of you just need to make a decision to go a different direction, to reposition yourself. Ask God tonight when you go to sleep. We'll ask him right now. Where do you want us? Show us. Show us what you have for our lives. Show us, Father. Come on. Reveal what you have for our lives. I know when I was here and we were leading the Call England, a massive prayer meeting, like those young kids were that kind of praying where you know. I used to pray like that. But I used to say to God, how come you trick me? You're always tricking me. You trick me into bigger things. And God said to me one day, I didn't trick you. Why do you keep telling people that? That's not right. I chose you. See, God's chosen you to write, to sing, to talk to people, to be established somewhere. God's handpicked you and chosen and equipped you to do what's in your heart to do. And nobody else can pray it. Nobody else can say it. Nobody else can sing it. You have to do it. When I finished writing my book and I handed it to Jean, I said, here, go print this out for me, would you? I finished it. I gave him this little jump drive that I'd borrowed from Rod, and he went upstairs to the office to print it out. And literally, as I handed it to him, heaven opened up, and I heard the whole of heaven sing, she's finished the book, she's finished the book, she's finished the book. I was like in total shock. What do you mean, how did you, when you didn't know? That was the most thing that really hit me. But no, what really hit me was too, we each have an assignment. And I think sometimes we've hardly scratched into the first part of it. You should pray, you know. Why am I here? Show me what to do. Show me. Show me. Show me, Father. What's my life about? He's not hard. He's not mean. He's just waiting for you to ask. He's very personal. So I pray that you go home with fresh strength. I pray in Jesus' name you go home with revelation. I pray that you go home with determination. You go home willing to endure whatever it's going to take to change whatever needs to change in your life, to see down the road a long way what you need to do, to see your future self. And I pray you just look at your past and say, thanks, I learned a lot from you. And I'm not going back there. So I'm going to finish. Amen. Amen.